welcome to Two Nerds Sitting on a Couch, in which two nerds sit on a couch and discuss science fiction and fantasy.
Morbius, the new movie by Sony, is an hour and 44 minutes of action-packed fanfic. This is what it looks like when a major motion picture studio writes fanfic of the Marvel Universe. Yeah. Like, they desperately, ever since, like, so they wrote their Spider-Man, mm-hmm. and then Marvel came along and casually pooped out a better Spider-Man as an afterthought to a completely different storyline. And they've, ever since, they've been like, oh my god, I totally heart you. Can I come to your party? Can I look through the window at you? Because yeah. I heart you so much.
Yeah, except it's Sony, so it would never be as wholesome as that. What this is, because Sony, all they're trying to do is rootkit everything you have, right? That's right. All they're trying to do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure we need to buy a new Blu-ray player now.
Right, because it's there's like spyware, and they're listening right now.
Yeah, I mean, they know we're talking about them.
There is a name for it. It's like the Sony Suckverse or something like that, which is not the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But it looks just like it. Only 3 feet tall.
Yeah. Like when you do a search for Dune on Amazon Prime and you get the movie Dune Warriors or Planet Dune. Neither of which have anything to do with the Dune movies that you want to see.
No.
It's like the discount Little Mermaid cartoon that your parents got you were a kid, and it was not Disney.
Right.
It was knows what it is, but you know what? They can't copyright the Little Mermaid because Hans Christian Andersen already did.
Right.
And that's exactly what Sony is doing here, because they're both working off the same, they have license to the same source material the same universe. And so they're like, well, I mean, technically we can do a multiverse story because that's in the source material. Sure, why not? We'll just steal it wholesale from Marvel. Why not? Like, the MCU is like ours for the taking. So let's just integrate all of it.
I mean, I kind of can't believe that they got like Keaton to show up and reprise his role from
The other Spider-Man reboots. One of the many Sony reboots.
Well, no. He's from the MCU.
Oh, yeah, that's right. See, I get them all confused when they do shit like this, because it's all like, throw it in there, and then the MCU goes along with it. And they're like, yeah, that seems like a good idea. Well, I was kind of joking, because like, it used to be the DC was the ones trying to fanfic the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because, you know, they were trying so hard for their Justice League to be the Avengers. And the movies just fell really flat, and they were just sort of stupid and,
you know,
one-dimensional. But it did start the whole conversation about the crossovers, because there are a multitude of crossovers between the DC universe and the Marvel universe in the movies.
What do you mean crossovers? You just mean actors?
Yeah, the actor, like Josh Brolin is in both of them. In fact, Josh Brolin shows up twice in DC and is different characters. And there's a couple more. And now Jared Leto has sort of almost bridged the gap between them.
He's not in the MCU, but he's in the Suckverse.
He's like 2 degrees of Kevin Bacon away from the MCU at this point.
Right.
Now that they've opened up the multiverse for Keaton to show up, like, we're tapping this on the shoulder with a sword. You know what I mean? Like, it is now officially sheriff of MCU-ish.
Ish.
It's the Unish verse.
Yeah, it's the Suckverse.
It's the Marvel Unish verse, cinematic Unish verse.
It's totally like the kind of shit that when you go to New York and you're hanging out in the Lower East Side, there's like a dude with a blanket and like Prada bags.
Yeah. Or he's like,
I got the
Morbius DVD. Morbius DVD, and it's not even for sale because somebody went with a small camera into a movie theater and recorded the whole thing.
It's for sale. It's just not. Anyway, but
it is the movie.
Yeah.
Just with people coughing and sometimes having sex.
Oh my god.
Anyway, so Jared Leto famously plays the Joker in the DC universe.
Yes.
Up against Batman. And in this one, They just flip that on its head, and now he is literally the Batman.
He is the Batman.
He was bitten by a radioactive bat. Regular bat, whatever. Special bat that craves human blood, and became a super strong Batman.
Man, yes.
Like it's not one word. There is definitely a space between, he is the Batman.
It's like, you're a gentle man.
Right.
Not a gentleman.
Right. Totally. And that describes him fairly well, except for, you know, he's not all that gentle either.
No. Oh my God.
No, he is an asshole.
Okay. So I don't even know. Okay. So we decided to watch this movie and...
Because the kids kept saying things like, it's Morbin time.
Yes. They said that a lot.
So I was vaguely aware that there was a movie, and I was like, oh, it's an MCU movie that I guess it's not getting much play because it's straight to video or something.
Yeah,
maybe
and I had to get out like a chart and point to it and be like, none of this is a fucking MCU movie. It's all fucking adjacent. Anyway, so the best thing about it, so our kids are Zoomers, and like both of them, when they came into the room while we were watching the movie, were like, what are you watching? And we were like, Morbius. And they both had an almost superstitious reaction where they had to flee the room.
Yeah, it was like a
because
like
they
an
might
allergy.
Accidentally find out whether he indeed says it's Morbin time, because apparently that's the lore. Is it like there, like it exists in a super?
He says it as long as you don't watch the movie and have it resolve into one reality or the other.
Right? Yeah, it's like
because in the multiverse we live in, there is a version of this movie where he says it's Morbin time.
Right, and so it's like
because he absolutely does at one point say, don't make me hungry. You wouldn't like me when I'm hungry.
Oh my God, I couldn't believe it.
You wouldn't like me when I'm hungry.
But it's like totally Schrodinger's Morbin time.
Morby Hulk.
Morby Hulk.
More Batman. More Batman.
It's so bad. Oh my God.
It is Morbin time though. And we kept saying that every once in a while it would be Morbin time. And you'd be like.
So I have a theory about why the DC universe sucks and why this sucks too.
Okay.
So, probably the most successful of the DC properties to be done would have been the Nolan Batmans. Right?
I agree to disagree. I think Shazam was amazing.
I like Shazam too. And actually Shazam is the...
it's an outlier though. They don't actually...
I was going to say, but this is...
Pretend like it's the same universe.
No, they really don't. But also like Shazam is the exception that proves the rule. Okay?
Right. Sure.
Let me finish with my plot.
Okay.
So the Batman movies are all...
Not Batman, but the Batman movies...
The
Nolan Batman movies.
The Nolan Batman movies.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I think that Christopher Nolan can construct the shit out of a film. Whether I like it or not is a completely different issue. But
Well, he also has his finger on the pulse of the neoliberal zeitgeist.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. He's just like neoliberal as fuck. It's amazing. And neoconservative. He's managed to be neo everything.
Yeah.
So. But his stuff was all real grimdark and, you know, it was like coming off of like the year one stuff. And, you know, it was in that period when comics were all, you know, they weren't for kids anymore. They were for the 50-year-old, you know, basement dweller who, you know, grew up on comics and now wants
something.
They're
not comics.
Right. The kind of person who would say that. So... And they do, they're good. I think it's a weird affection because I'm like, everything about this film, like all of it's like, you know, because everything has an agenda. And I don't mean that in like a, everything's trying to say something about the world, right? Mm-hmm. Every fiction is constructing a world and it's saying things about the world.
Sure.
And everything that the Batman movies say about the world, I reject hard.
Yeah.
But it's totally internally consistent and like beautifully done. And then, so it's just, I mean, it's like a fucking Leni Riefenstahl film, right? Because it's like, the aesthetic is amazing, but fuck you.
Yeah.
So anyway, So yeah, so they're very successful in a couple ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they're successful films, and I think they were also financially successful. Mm-hmm. And so what they took from this is that everything has to be grim, dark as fuck all the time, right? And so when you go to make a Superman movie, Superman, if you're going to do him well, it's going to be fun. You know what I mean? Like, right. That's why the Christopher Reeve stuff was fun. Like, all of his, like, stumbling around and pretending to be, you know, what's his flip, the news guy, and, you know,
Clark Kent.
Yeah, I can't even remember his name. You know, stumbling around and pretending to not, all of it's funny. It's, yeah. And it's kind of lighthearted, and that's the way it should be. And it's instead, like,
that's the reason they can't put Shazam in the Justice League, because they already have a Superman.
Right. And that's what I'm saying, is that, like, Shazam, okay, so they make all of these movies, and so they try to make Superman grimdark, which is, like, it doesn't work. Yeah. He's, like, he should be in, like, a spangly outfit. You know what I mean? Right. Like, he's...
I mean, of everyone else, he's the one actually wearing a leotard.
Like, yeah.
Batman's got armor.
Right.
Wonder Woman's got a bathing suit.
Right. And so it's just, like, it's just this huge bummer, because it's, like, they couldn't do what was... they couldn't do the needful.
Yeah.
For what each sort of superhero and their origin story, like, they couldn't do the needful for Superman. And so then it turned into this, I don't know, fucking stupid daddy issues, Christ figure nonsense.
It takes itself so seriously.
Right.
And however, that said, I mean, I think the one thing this movie does really well, which I have always complained about, is as vampires, you know, you always choose to interpret how you're going to approach your monster, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you get to decide, like, is it a fast zombie or a slow zombie? Is it rabies or is it, you know, supernatural? It's the same thing with vampires. I mean, because...
We're talking about Morbius now, not...
Yes.
DC. Okay.
I get them confused, though, because it's Sony, DC, they're all the same.
Right.
But with Morbius, the thing I like about it is that it approaches the vampire lack of soul with a kind of reality that is believable, like, in a way that I haven't really seen done before. Because it's like, my problem with vampires is, like, Edward is a vampire, right? And he's like, no, you don't want to be like me, Bella. I don't have a soul. And it's like, I mean, don't you, though? Or... what's a soul for, then? What's the point? Gives a shit?
But, like, souls are dumb. She wants to have it both ways. Like,
Buffy the Vampire Slayer is the same way. I don't have a soul. And it's like, well, okay. So you can't go around in the sunlight, but, like, and crosses hurt. But for all intents and purposes, you're otherwise an immortal human. Who wouldn't want that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's wrong with that? Nothing's wrong with that. And, you know, part of the vampire lore has always been this, like, you lose your soul. And, like, the problem is, in an increasingly secular world, nobody gives a shit. And if you try to make that movie, everybody's going to roll their eyes and be like, okay, Winona Ryder, have fun with your Dracula, you know? I mean, that's just stupid. So they do it believably, though, because it's painted as a hybrid. It's a Jekyll and Hyde, something else they're stealing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's something that he can't control, and that's what makes him soulless, is because he knows that he's going to crave this blood, and if he gives into that, which it's an overpowering addiction. Right. This is an eating disorder, right? I mean, on an enormous level, right? And so he's coming to terms with that, like, literally fighting his inner demon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it means when he doesn't want his friend to take it. What he means is he's trying to protect him from this horror that he lives on a daily basis, because he's going to lose his humanity in the process. And so what's the point of surviving this insurvivable disease, mm-hmm. if you're going to, like, be this monster? And his friend's like, I don't care. I just want to be alive. And, oh, my God, I can fly. Like, and I totally eat people. What's your problem? You think about this all wrong. And it's like, kind of well done in that sense. The storytelling there is kind of well done, because he's a believable bad guy. He's like, You know what? I'm fine with losing my soul. I don't want to die. And, like, all I have to do is drink blood. And to be honest, now that I have the strength to, I kind of dig it, you know? I mean, it's like, I can see how he gave into it. He gave into that addiction. And that's what this movie is about. It's about trying to, it's the struggle with that addiction. And then like, just giving up and being like, you know what? I'm going to be a heroin addict.
Okay, but like, counterpoint. Like, I mean, I can see what they're trying. It's like Jekyll and Hyde and Hyde. Because, you know, Morbius. Okay, so quick backstory. I always do this. So stupid. Quick backstory is Morbius and his friend Milo. He calls Milo.
Not his real name.
Not his real name.
Because there was a Milo before and he died, and there will be a Milo after you. Which is just like, you're disposable.
So they're friends as like little kids with the same disorder. And then they grow up, and Morbius is a brilliant doctor. Like, so brilliant that they go to give him the Nobel Prize. But then he's a huge dick to the King of Sweden and rejects it. And I was just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, come on. Even Bob Dylan, who was kind of a dick about it, just delivered a thing and it was fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then he like fuses vampire bats and I don't know, whatever. It's just, it's scientish, right? And then he takes it, which makes him like kill an entire container ship full of dudes.
Like, why was his lab on a container ship? Is it because he was doing illegal human experiments might result in the death of everybody on that ship?
Yeah, and that's...
Like, in that sense, hadn't he lost his soul already?
Well, kind of, yeah, actually.
Oh, is that what you're saying?
Well, a little bit, but then... So, yeah.
I mean, he is an asshole.
And he is a bat.
I mean, they've modeled parts of his personality after Stephen Strange as well. You know, brilliant doctor, overcomes it with semi-magic... garbage.
Okay, but at least Stephen Strange is just an asshole. I mean, that's what I like about his character, is that he's a fucking dick. And actually, like, all of that, like, camaraderie, like, stuff, he's still a dick at the end of it. Which I like, you know? I mean, he's working for good or whatever, but he's still just, like, a self-involved asshole. And that's kind of great, actually. This guy, Morbius, is a fucking... noodle. He's a noodle. What does he do in his spare time?
He checks the mirror to make sure he looks just like John Lennon.
Counterpoint, Manson. He looks like Charles Manson.
Yeah, I suppose that's maybe he's going for. It's a weird look. To get back to your point, like, this is a graphic novel, not a comic.
Right.
Nothing about this can imply any sort of humor or self-deprecation or knowing what movie it is. Like, they don't, it's like they're not aware what movie this is and like how goofy all of this stuff is, you know? And that's the great thing about the MCU is like they allow different levels of seriousness in their movies, but they all, every last one of them has a sense of humor. Every single one of them. Like, Thor movies more than others, maybe, you know, and the Avengers movie least of all, but like, you know, it's still there because you still have moments of levity in these movies that are, that give you a break, a pause, a breath. Mm-hmm. And that's what life is in a movie. And this one lacks that life. It's an undead movie.
So at least it has like a certain kind of parallelism of like, it's sucking your blood, and then they're also blood suckers. Anyway.
Right. They are blood suckers. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that my big insight about this is that this is really a movie about an eating disorder, you know, and that that's like psychologically, I mean, it's about addiction and that's the takeaway that I'm going to have here, because good Lord, it's Morbin time. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, this movie totally is so dumb otherwise.
Well, I mean, because I think that you can't, like, the, you know, I mean, I think sort of Anne Rice somewhat famously, I mean, I think it was an accident, but her Vampire Chronicles, even though Interview with a Vampire started in the, I think it was written in the late 70s, like 78-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she didn't return to that world and then turn it into the big, you know, Lestat fest that it turned into until the 80s. And, like, layered against the AIDS crisis, like, you know, like, her vampires ended up being really, really queer-coded, and the whole, like, blood infection, you know, being set outside of humanity, or set outside of normal people, mm-hmm. and I'm making quote noises right now.
Right.
You know, it totally worked, and it had this, like, really cool synergy with, like, what was going on in the world.
Right.
And, like, whether she intended it or not, that's what was going on. I mean, like, I've read tons of people who have said things like, you know, Anne Rice's vampire stuff was, like, made me realize that I was queer, you know, or like yeah. gave a sort of voice to a certain queer experience that they hadn't seen before. Right. And like this is like, it could do that. It could do that. It's possible.
Mm-hmm. This,
but it just doesn't.
The problem is, this movie makes me think about, like, so when we went to the movies last, the cashier at the front, the ticket person was like, so are zombies cannibals? And so we spent the next hour in the bar discussing whether or not zombies were cannibals. And I mean, I think that, like, for me, I got to the answer is, for us, it was no, they are not cannibals because they are not human.
Right.
And which is weird because we went out and the woman was like, yeah, she totally are cannibals.
She'd gone the other way.
Yeah, we came to different conclusions. But my reasoning was, it comes down to an issue of consent, right? Because zombies are not human. You can't have sex with them, like, morally.
No.
And so, like, the fact that they're, like, eating people is, like, they lack some sort of essential humanity.
Right.
Because they're a corpse at this point. Like, whatever animated them before is not animating them now. Mm-hmm. With vampires, on the other hand, that they are cannibals. I mean, and especially in the Lestat books, the way that they're treated, like the way that they don't have souls because they eat other people. And, like, that's sort of the point of this, because very few, I mean, I guess there are vampire movies that, like, get into, you know, why can't you just eat cows, right? Like, people eat cows all the time. Why can't you just drink the cow blood that would otherwise go to waste or into industrial products? I mean, like, what's the problem here? That it makes no sense that you would need to eat human blood. But whatever. Okay, let's just take that as an assumption then, because you have to. Otherwise, you know...
Well, I mean,
otherwise, what's the immoral badness about them?
What's their face is Edward and his quote unquote family.
Yeah,
they considered themselves vegetarians because they went and killed and sucked the blood of apex predators.
But even in that, there's the understanding is the human blood is different, qualitatively different.
And better.
And that's how Morbius treats it. And so in that sense, this is sort of Twilight fanfic. But he is like that's the thing about Lestat that this I think does well that it pulls into this is that if you have to eat people, then you are a cannibal, and that's that, like, de facto is the loss of your soul, like,
yeah,
because you're murdering people, which is not something people do, you know. And this and there's all those arguments of like, well, you know, if it weren't for God, people would just murder each other because, you know, God is what gives us morality. And it's like, holy crap, that's a terrifying thing for anybody to say. Like, if God told me to kill people, I would just do it blindly. And it's like, that's not how morality works. And if that's how it works,
I mean,
for
it,
you
it,
you're a sociopath.
It literally works like that in the Bible, though. God said to Abraham, kill me a son.
Speaking of Bob Dylan,
right?
Yeah, no, totally. But I mean, I think that's the, like, but again, I mean, you have to like almost dissect that like or flip that sort of religious point of view around for a secular version of a vampire movie, because, you know, if you're talking about souls,
right,
what does that mean? And like to a secular audience, that's gonna mean that loss of morality or that loss of empathy, or worse, turning that empathy into like whatever the opposite of empathy is, like that murder instinct, the
callousness,
like you just don't care, so you're just gonna murder people, you know, and like, and maybe even revel in it, and that's sort of the approach here, which I think is a good way to do it, because it gets to the whole point of what is a soul in a way that's practical and not woo-woo, you know, mm-hmm. like just sort of spiritualized away to the point of it can be whatever you want to hand wave, right. You know, like, and it actually makes it into a practical question and a moral question, you know, and it sort of you have to like go through the whole like issue of consent, because there's the moment at the end where it's like, I mean, he's thinking about eating his girlfriend because she's got a cut and it's all amazing or whatever. And if he could turn her into one, I don't know that that works that way in this.
No, I mean, obviously, like, so she's killed by his friend who has gone off the deep end.
Right.
And he bleeds on her face, and then she licks her face and then gets the blood on in her. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the, like, right before the stupid cut scenes is her opening her eyes.
Oh yeah. I may have dozed off at that point. I just did not give a shit about that scene. It was not really compelling.
No.
In any sort of way. So I mean, like, I guess I missed important plot points. Yeah. I just sort of like,
because it was Morbin time, and that's just what had to happen. But I mean, and like, just not to get, I don't know, whatever. I'm just going to bitch about this movie some more. So, I mean, I think it's interesting because, like, I've never really thought of the like, soul loss thing as, like, a really important part of the vampire franchise or the vampire
ethos. What are the crosses for, then?
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess I just don't pay attention to that, which is maybe me.
Because you just sort of don't care.
I guess I just don't care about the soul. I think it's like, well, prove it anyway.
Yeah. Well, but also it's irrelevant. And that's the other thing about like questions of morality and soul and personhood. Speaking of Roe v. Wade, which we weren't, but it's, I mean, that's really what that comes down to, is like that whole concept of a soul, because that's a religious belief, is that you know, life begins at conception, and they're defining life as having a soul, but they're not saying that part. They're saying life begins at conception rather than you get a soul at conception, because that's really what they mean, but they can't say that because it sounds fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And like, and if they were forced to say that every single time, you'd be like, that's dumb. Like, and easily falsifiable. Like, what is a soul? Prove it. You can't. So
it's not,
you
know, a thing.
That's not right. Something that happens. So let's talk about things like the quickening, since we're talking about history and tradition or whatever, you know, and it's not until you, and that's like, again, you know, coming back to Morbius and the whole concept of a soul,
right?
You have to have something that makes you inhuman, right? That loss of the soul is like, you could call it demonic, but really what we're talking about is like sociopathy, where people like just are sociopaths and they don't really care about other people. And if you could get away with something, you would, because you just don't care. You don't have empathy. You've lost something essential about that humanity that just sort of whatever. I mean, like at that point, literally, you're not killing people because of the trouble it would cause you. You don't want to get into trouble. Like, you're doing it because mm-hmm. God's commandment is you can't kill people.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it wouldn't bother you at all, you know? Right. And that, to me, like, that's this sort of calculation here, is that it's like, it's not even that lack of empathy. It's turning that empathy into its opposite, you know, like callousness.
Right.
Like, well, scorn for human life.
And I have to say, so they've sort of set Morbius up as a kind of, like a dark hero.
Like a good bad guy?
A good bad guy.
Like Punisher or Ghost Rider or...
Right, exactly, yeah.
Is Ghost Rider DC?
You know what? No fucking clue.
It'd be really awesome if they did a crossover with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, God, that'd be amazing. That'd be amazing.
Speaking actually, of forgettable movies that took themselves actually, too seriously.
Actually, if Nick Cage could play, like, because I know he's done, like, a ton of superhero, like, comics movies.
Yeah.
So he could play all of them at once, and it would be amazing.
Yeah. Or he could do something else interesting, like that weird Five Nights at Freddy's movie.
Oh, my God. I
Weekend at Willy's or like whatever.
What was Willy's Wonderland.
Willy's Wonderland.
That I need to see that again, honestly. Oh my God. Okay, wait. So, but as I was saying,
sorry,
this is no, it's fine.
It's Morbin time.
It's Morbin time.
Morb.
So yeah. So he's like the hero, but obviously he's not super heroic because basically what he's done so far is
murder a lot of people.
Murder a lot of people. I mean, that's the thing that's so funny about it.
That's what Morbin is. He's out morbering.
Whole ships full of people.
Morb.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, he's this brilliant doctor and, you know, he's living with his disability and he's still, you know, doing cool shit with kids or whatever the fuck he's doing. And then he decides, like, I mean, and this is just a bitch I have about the way science is depicted in mm-hmm. movies, where he's just like, he gets a single mouse and he like puts some shit in the mouse and then the mouse dies and he's like, well, that was a failure. And I was like, that's not how any of this works.
That's how I Am Legend did it.
No. Okay.
Sample number C78.
No, but he did a bunch of them.
Yeah.
A bunch.
I mean, that's actual science. It's like the boring part where you do the same thing thousands of times.
Right.
Because that's data. That's all science is. Like, there was this question I saw. Somebody was like, you know, posing half seriously. It was like, you know, wouldn't you say that anybody who doesn't actually do the scientific experiment and just believes the scientists has faith, like religious faith? And everybody was pointing out that that's stupid because you could do the experiment yourself. It is falsifiable and people have, right. And it's, you know, it's observable. You can look at it yourself.
Right.
Anybody can. And anybody who does sees the same thing. Therefore it's repeatable. Whereas, yeah.
Well,
you know,
but that's
revealed knowledge isn't,
but it's like people act like all epistemologies are the same, and
right.
Because they're epistemologies.
Like, I'm use the word theory with a lowercase t,
right.
In the same
and
sense that
act,
you're using it.
Right. Which is just,
which is wrong.
Because,
you know, evolution is just a theory.
It's just annoying that they use the word theory scientifically and it means something different colloquially. Anyway, yeah. So my
There's
point...
lots of words like that, like yeah. Racism.
Oof-da. Yeah, totally.
Sorry, it's Morbin time. That was morbid.
Okay, so... this fucking dipshit injects a mouse with some shit. The mouse like falls over and then gets back up and he's like, sweet, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go out on a container ship and inject myself with the exact same shit. I'm not gonna do any other tests.
Yeah, because I mean that's how that one doctor won the Nobel Prize, because he was like, stomach ulcers were caused by this particular bacteria. So he drank it and got stomach ulcers. And then treated himself with antibiotics and the ulcers went away. And everybody was like, oh, that's brilliant. You deserve a Nobel Prize for that. So why not stab yourself with mouse
juice? That's not even close to true.
Yeah, it is. That's a true story. You can look it up on the internet.
That makes me mad.
Why?
That makes me...
He had a theory and then he proved it.
Okay. That makes me so mad.
It's more than Obama did for his Nobel.
Okay.
Or Bob Dylan.
Okay, fuck off.
He did zero science.
He's America's troubadour. And I'm channeling my dad when I say shit like that. Okay, so... Yeah, so then he goes... He's like, I know what I'm going to do is completely morally and ethically unjustifiable, right?
But, I mean, I think the fact that he put his lab on a container ship suggests that he... understood that he could turn into a very, very dangerous creature. Otherwise, why do it? Or was he just trying to get into international waters? I was asleep for that part of the movie.
Honestly,
too, because
I have, I have no idea. Like, you know, if you're going to do mad science, just do mad science. Like,
yeah. I mean, what he needed was an evil lair, and what he got was C-Lab. You know, I mean, this is sort of those crypto bros who are like, let's buy a cruise ship and like call it Sealand, and then it'll be our, we'll live there. And everybody was like, we're not going to sell you gas because of international treaties, so right. You can just float wherever you want without any toilet paper.
They totally acted like maritime law isn't some of the oldest, most agreed upon law in the world.
Well, I mean, it's the same kind of sovereign citizen bullshit that people pull because the laws just don't apply to them as long as you realize certain things. And it's like, I mean, yeah, it's sort of like how, you know, we joke about string theory, about how it's not even wrong. It just, mm-hmm. there's no way to prove it. And so it's real pretty and self-consistent, but who cares? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't change anything, you know? And that's sort of how they approached the law. And so everybody has this concept that, like, if you're on a boat in international waters, because the captain can marry you then, because the captain is then the master of the ship, like, therefore, you should be able to just stay in international waters all the time and just have
and
your
just
own,
do whatever.
Like, that's it. Like, everybody's like, I could buy an island in the middle of nowhere and then it'll be my kingdom, without realizing that every single square inch of land is claimed.
Right.
Sometimes by multiple countries.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's not going to happen. So, like, the boat thing is, like, the next best thing, right? Except that's also, like, international waters, yeah, but you have to have that boat registered somewhere in the world.
Right. And it has to, like,
all of those places
dock.
In the world have agreements with each other. Every single place in the world.
Right, because maritime
not
law
a single place you
is, like,
go.
The oldest law in the world.
And if you could find a country who would help you violate those laws, you might as well just live in that country, because at that point you're your own, like,
right, yeah.
You're off in a rogue nation, right? So who cares?
Yeah, so do whatever.
I mean, Kim Jong-il, like, or Un, whichever one is in power. Like, that's what he's doing. He's got his own like North Korean Sealand.
I think that's a little different. Anyway, so yeah, so, and then, oh well, and also he totally, like, eats the shit out of all of the mercenaries. And the funny thing is that they totally try to paper over him killing all those dudes.
Yeah.
Like, they're somehow bad mercenary dudes. And I
was
just like,
they just sort of throw that out there too. And that's something that,
like
at least
why?
They did. I mean, because a lot of times with writers, they just need to add a sentence that's like, and everybody thought that was okay. And
right.
then you move on. But because if you don't address it, it's like, well, that was weird.
No.
Didn't you just kill a container ship full of people? And so somebody shows up and is like, well, that was okay.
Right.
And
no,
then
but,
you're like,
but
okay,
I, mean, but
I guess I can move. I'll go back to sleep now.
Right. But I guess I'm just saying that that's garbage, because it's like, what the fuck? I mean, like, so yeah, you're in international waters and they're quote unquote mercenaries, which just means that they were hired by you. Like, like, it means that they're employees. Because, anyway, like,
are you saying the Hessians were just employees?
Yeah, actually, I feel bad for Hessians, those poor assholes. They didn't know what they were getting into.
Uh-huh.
So he goes out there in international, like, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is they're trying to set him up as this some sort of conflicted good guy. But
right.
I'm saying the minute he set up a container ship full of dudes who...
Murderable dudes.
Morally disposable dudes for no reason
morbally,
I can... Morbally. Badum, badum.
He dismorbered them.
He badum. Like, once that happened, every... You know, it's like, actually his friend, like, and I actually feel like... what's that guy's name? What's that actor's name?
The Chernobyl guy?
Milo.
I don't remember.
The Doctor Who guy.
Oh, Smith.
Yeah, Matt Smith. I feel like Matt Smith was the only guy who knew what movie he was in.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the only one having fun with it. But I'm just saying that, like...
he was a believable good guy. I mean, like, I could totally see his path to the dark side and be like, right. I could see how somebody would do that. I disagree with it, but that's not the point. But it's realistic.
I guess that's what I'm saying. He doesn't like, care. Like, Mr. Morbin time, he, like... Like, the minute he set up the container ship full of morally disposable people and then morally disposed of them, like... fuck that guy.
Yeah, right? No, that's immoral.
and, like, Matt Smith's reaction, which is, like... I mean, I actually kind of thought that part of it was cool. Like, because both of these guys are understood to have, like, a debilitating disease, right?
They right, they're coming from the same place.
They like, can't walk without
because, I mean, you need assistance. To have a foil, right? I mean, so you yeah. make them exactly the same, except...
Except...
And they're both evil... Except one of them's like the good kind of evil.
Right. But I mean, but Matt Smith,
he's like he's like lawful evil. And Matt Smith is like chaotic evil.
Yeah, no, that's probably right. So, but I mean, like he like his glee in being able-bodied again, and in fact not just able-bodied but having like superpowers,
yeah,
like I mean that's like a really common thing with superhero movies is like regular people getting really excited that they can do things like beyond, you know, I mean, yeah. Like there's that whole scene in Captain America after he has a serum where he chases down that guy and it's like it's thrilling.
Yeah.
Or like there's the Spider-Man scenes where he like it's thrilling to figure out like the limits of your body. Like this is all really, really cool. Although
that was a puberty metaphor, but still.
Right. Absolutely. But it's still like that's a really common part of the superhero ethos, right? Is like you know, coming into an awareness of your abilities and for people who are like disabled, like to have them like come into like superhuman everything would be just fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like and that part of like Matt Smith's journey, like obviously it's a bummer that he then killed his like dad figure. Why? I don't even understand.
Because
like,
I mean, once you check everything out the window, everything's out the window. So you might as well.
Is it though? You know? You don't have to though. Anyway.
He's just mad, and it's like I mean it's he's better than all of them.
Yeah. Well, now. Anyway.
I mean, he is objectively better than everybody. Like,
right.
He could totally beat everybody up.
Because it's Morbin time.
It's Morbin time. It's so morbid.
I don't know. Do we have anything more to say about this suck verse?
I don't know that there's anything morb to say.
Are we going to watch this movie again ever?
I mean... One more time.